Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host for it. And guess what? Harvey Horn, we get to do a podcast show, but we have to drive 4 hours to go do it. I don't know how that works, but Lake of the Ozarks is in the background. And we've been here at the hashtag 2024 Lake of the Ozarks Fish Camp. You came up, you took out some media people. Now, you have some experience on this reservoir, right?
Yeah, I've been up here. This will be my third trip. I fished Bass Nation Regional here in 2017.
Uh-huh.
Came back last year and fished the Bass Open in September. So right about the same time of year as I was here last year. Fishing on this lake is phenomenal. This week we've had opportunity to take out a couple riders, and they've caught some fish. Caught one pretty good size fish. I wouldn't say it was a giant, but it was right at 4 pounds. So anytime you can see somebody catch a 4 pounder on the top water, it's a fun day.
Oh yeah. So so you've been here before. Let's jump into what you're going to do, and then we'll come back to what the fishing's going to be. So in the next few months, you're going to be focused on
Bass Nation State Tournament for Arkansas. Will be on Dardanelle the last full weekend of October.
All right.
It's one that I've been close a couple of times and still hadn't got the win. But Dardanelle is one of those places that you can have one really good day, but to back it up, you've got to be on something that's really special. Last time we were there was probably 3 years ago. Finished day one in second, caught one fish on day two and fell from second to seventh.
Wow.
So I still qualified for that regional, but it was just one of those tough days that they weren't pulling current. There wasn't any wind, bluebird skies, and it was a long struggle day. And unfortunately for me, I have more of those struggle days than I do those good days.
Right.
But then we'll wrap that up. I'll leave, come home for literally one night, and I'll head over to Grand Lake in Oklahoma for the Bass Nation National Championship.
Right.
Grand in November has historically been good to me, even though October's been better.
Right.
It's,
which is kind of your backyard.
It really is. Grand's only about 50 minutes from my house. It's one of those lakes that really fits my style of fishing. You're going to catch them real shallow and kind of catch them however you want to. You know, that time of year, it's going to be spinner baits, square bill crankbaits, maybe even some medium diver crankbaits, a top water, you know, whopper ploppers, and the buzz baits are all going to play. And the only thing that I don't like about it is it's November, and everybody's going to catch them in November. If it was October, they're still spread out. They're still in that transition period, and not as many people will catch them in October. So it would have fit more in my playground if it was October instead of November, but I still like my chances.
How many anglers are in that tournament?
They're scheduled to have up to 250 boats, and of course that's the Bass Nation National Championship.
Right,
you're going to have anglers from all over the world, all over the United States, Canada, Mexico, and you're going to have some really stiff competition, because you're talking about all of the best anglers from each country that participates in bass, and it's going to be a special event. It's the first time I've been to the nationals, so for me, it's going to be really, really important for me to do as well as I can. You know, hopefully I can pull out the win. With that, you get a berth into the Bassmasters Classic 2025, which will be in Texas on a lake that I've got a little bit of history on. And plus, you win it, you get the Elite Series berth for 2025 as well.
I wonder what's in the water in Northwest Arkansas, because Chris Johnson is also called. Anyone else besides Chris and you qualified?
Yes, we actually have one more guy coming in as a co-angler.
Oh, wow. Who's that? Do you know?
Qualified. Jason Mashmeyer.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, he qualified as a co-angler last year at the Bass Nation State Tournament on Lake Felsenthal in South Arkansas. The co-angler that would have been in place to bump him out was already qualified through Louisiana.
Double.
So he had double qualified, and when he told him, he's like, I'm going to go as a boater through Louisiana. So that bumped up one place for Jason to get in as a co-angler.
So you talk about styles, and we talk about Chris Johnson. His style is old. Can I add one more old? Old school. And so what is so we know he loves it, Cello. What are you going to do, say, in these tournaments? Are you pro electronics? Are you going to use them to your advantage in that?
You know, in the fall at Grand, most of the time I'm going to have all of that turned off because I'm not fishing water that's more than 3 feet deep.
Oh, all right.
This year, there may be some places that I will actually turn it on. And I've got the Humminbird 360. Yep. I've got the Garmin LiveScope. So I've got the best of everything that's out there on my boat right now.
Right.
And there will probably be a time if the fish aren't as shallow as I want them to be. Say we get some cold fronts and the water really drops down, you know, into the 40s or 50s. I don't see that happening because it's early November, but it could. Then that would play a part. But overall, I think I'm just going to literally just turn the map on to where I can see the areas that I need to be fishing in and just grind it out up shallow because that's going to be the deal. 100%.
So you're a shallow water fisherman. What, like, give us a tip for fishing shallow water that would help someone catch a lot of fish, and what would be a tip for catching big fish?
So, tips for catching a lot of fish, one of the so-called forgotten baits is a spinnerbait. It's real simple. You cast it out, reel it in, just add a little bit of action to it. In the fall time of year, like we're in right now, that's going to be one of the biggest players because bass are chasing shad.
Is there a brand? Is there one that you use? What do you use?
The Greenfish Tackle spinnerbaits are the ones that I've used. I mean, I've used every one that's out there, but it's the one that I use currently.
Okay.
And the smaller the blades to match the smaller shad, the bigger the blades to match the bigger shad. Here on Lake of the Ozarks, where we're at this week, you have tons and tons of shad that are in that 6 to 8 inch range.
That's almost glide bait range, right?
And it really is. That's kind of one of the hidden things about Lake of the Ozarks. One, the really big bass, they live shallow all year. And two, there's not a bait that's too big.
Right.
Most of the time when I'm fishing here, I don't throw anything smaller than 5 inches.
Wow.
So a 5-inch fighting frog, a 5-inch top water, spinnerbaits with really big blades, you know, that 5 and 6 range spinnerbait blade, mostly willows because the water's a little clearer. Going into Grand, it's going to be the kind of the same thing. I'm going to be using a lot of big baits,
right?
You know, a lot of big top waters.
That's that tip for catching those big fishes.
Yes. Yeah, nothing is too big.
Nothing is too big.
You know, that's the deal with big bass. They want to eat.
Is that why your boat won't go over 50 miles an hour? Because you got all those big baits in there?
You know, I do have a lot of big baits in my boat right now. But in the fall, you're either chasing one of two things. You're chasing the small shad or you're chasing the big shad. And here on this lake, I'm chasing the big shad.
Right.
Literally down here at the dock, I've been walking out on every morning that we've been leaving from. There's just you look down on the bank and you see those big shad swimming everywhere, and that's the deal up here. Is they, even the crappie up here eat big stuff. So it's you know, I know all of our crappie guides have been out there using their regular jigs and everything, but you can catch crappie on glide baits here. That's the crazy
I had
thing.
One guide pull out his big one that he was using down big. Soft plastic he was using down at Lake Washington that he caught a couple 3-pounders on, and he pulled that out. And I think we were in a group of black crappie, and they kind of turned their nose up towards it. But he found one that would come up. But I mean, that in itself is a different beast. Do you crappie fish some?
You know,
you just crappie fish to eat.
Yeah, I'm not a tournament crappie angler by any means. And it's not because I haven't had the opportunities. One of the guys that is actually was supposed to be here to join us this week, Craig Nichols. We have talked at length about me joining him a couple of times on the crappie tour, and it just never worked out to where we could get together at the same time.
That should be our shout out to you, because you're not here, Craig, and you better first of all, you better be watching it, because he's your buddy.
Oh yeah.
And he was
yeah.
going to show up, and he actually came over to the house and did a couple podcast shows, and we were visiting, and we found out like all these people, like Brian Sowers, all these people that we knew, and he come over, and so yeah, that's our shout out, you, Craig.
He's been a good friend of mine for the last probably 5 or 6 years.
Put both of you on a bull, who would last the longest? Crappie Cowboy? Or we got to give you a cool name, too. You know, you could be Cowboy Harvey or
something. Well, I've been the River Possum since 2018.
Let's just stick with that. Who's going to win? Who's going to last 8 seconds?
Probably going to have to go with Craig, because the last time I was on a bull was probably in the early 90s.
Really? You've been on a bull?
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow. I did not know that. Tell us a bull story.
I have
not
one.
Not a bull S
Because
story.
I wasn't dumb enough to get back on it again. They had a little deal, and I think it was Bastrop or Sterlington, Louisiana, that you could go up and ride a bull. And, of course, bunch of my buddies, hey, we're going up here to ride these bulls tonight. I don't care nothing about that.
Right.
Well, come on, Will. Just go with us. It'll be fun. You'll have a good time.
Oh, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Don't trust your friends when they say it'll be fun, but you
never,
do it.
Never, ever trust your friends when they say, oh, it's going to be a fun time. It's not. It's usually aimed at you
right.
when they
yeah.
say that.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun for them, but it's not going to be fun for you. So we got up there, you know, they wrapped my hand around Ooh. In the latigo or whatever they call
yeah.
that piece of leather rope. And
they opened blank the gate. Handle, they call that.
The bull jumped about 3 times, and I don't know what really happened after that. I woke up and I was on the ground, and I ran back and jumped over the fence, and the bull's kind of standing there going, what's that idiot doing? Why is he running? I'm done. I jumped my 3 times. He fell off and I'm done. These bulls had been ridden thousands of times.
Right.
So they knew the drill. He bucked me off, and I guess when I hit my head, it knocked me out for a second. Woke up. I run over because I don't know what's going on.
Right.
You know. But that's my bull riding story.
That's your bull riding story. How about the worst time, the worst conditions you were driving your boat?
Ooh.
Kind of compare that to that bull riding when you're trying to hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get one hand. There, the bull riders are going to say you get 2 hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, but you also don't have 250 screaming horses behind you.
True. And probably...
Which one? Was it Champlain, Erie?
You know, Champlain, I've been lucky the 2 times I went to Champlain and we had good days.
Uh-huh.
When I say good days, we had a north wind, so
yeah.
I went north. So
okay.
I didn't fight the wind down south.
Yeah. I mean, Darnell can be with that current cross wind and the current going one way, that can be a super uncomfortable place.
One of the first Bass Nation state tournaments that I fished on Dardanelle,
uh-huh.
we had a southwest wind blowing 25 to 40.
Whoa.
So when you come to Goose Island, you've got the bay that's to the south. I can't call its name right now. And then the west, the waves are coming from the west.
Uh-huh.
When you get there, you've got waves coming from the southwest. So it's kind of like a washing machine. You've got waves pushing you forward going back to Russellville.
Right.
Then you've got waves coming from your right hand behind you. Well, the only way to keep those waves coming over the back of the boat is you have to kind of goose it every now and then.
Uh-huh. And you got current, too.
Yeah.
Unless the current's not flowing.
At that time, the current wasn't really flowing,
oh, okay.
but you've still got, you know, 5 and 6 foot waves there. wasn't the tallest waves I've been in, but it was some of the trickiest. And I was lucky. At that time, I had an 18-foot bass boat with just a 150. But I told the gentleman that it was fishing with me. I'm like, uh-oh, it's going to get bad. So
you didn't say this is going to be fun to him.
No, huh? I did not. I did. That's something I've always taken into account for my co-anglers is right. to be as truthful and honest with them as I can about the conditions.
Right.
I'm like, it's not going to be a good day for a boat ride, and we're going 37 miles up the lake.
Right.
So when we come back, it's going to be bad.
Right.
And I told him, I said, you might want to bring your rain gear. Well, he shows up in a rain gear.
Oh.
And right about the southern or the eastern end of Goose Island, I spear a wave, and I look over, and his tackle box is floating. He's completely soaked. I'm like, dude, I tried to tell you, bring your rain suit because this is going to be bad. Once you get to a certain point, you can break back into eastern end of Lake Dardanelle, where you can actually turn and go north.
Right.
And once we got past that point, it was slick, calm, and fine. But getting there from where we were was a long trip. You know, it's probably about a 15-mile trip between that point and where the waves really started getting bad, and it's just straight east-west.
Wow.
But that was probably the trickiest day on the water that I've had. Now, I've had some other instances where I've been in bigger waves.
Yeah.
One instance, I actually had somebody driving me because I ran out of gas.
Oh.
That happened to be Bill Owen, my teammate with Express Bill. At the time.
Yeah.
Still the best Uber driver I've ever had on the water.
There you go. Give a shout out to Bill. I haven't been in the boat with Bill in a couple of years, but I know I've been in the boat with him. What a great guy.
Oh,
super. But
yeah. And he's a great boat driver.
Oh, he's the Uber boat driver. That takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft baits. All kinds of gear out there for bass fishing. They got the crankbaits are really special because the people that crappie fish love pulling those things. They just, you know, there's all kinds of colors like Wonder Bread, Paycheck, Christmas Tree. You know, they got the strangest colors. And they got the strangest name for crankbaits that you can get, but you can find their stuff at picolures.com. Harvey, if they want to find out more about you and what you're doing, where would they go?
All the social media outlets, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, we're out there on all of them, usually posting something once or twice a week. Keep up with us there, and we'll see y'all soon, I guess.
There you go. Appreciate it. Like I always like to say, make sure you keep your hook sharp, your lures in the water.